Hello, listener. Dahlia Lithwick here, host of Amicus, that's Slate's podcast on the courts and the law and democracy and the rule of law. This May, our team will be publishing a special project that we are calling How Originalism Ate the Law. This neutral and academic-sounding methodology of looking at the law is, in fact, anything but neutral. Originalism is to the conservative legal movement what peanut butter is to jelly. As we're going to show you over the course of this project, originalism has been both cover and calling for conservative justices and judges to radically overhaul the lives of millions of Americans. And while they claim to be the apolitical interpreters of the Constitution and its authors' intents, they have overturned Roe, radically expanded gun rights, and eviscerated voting rights. Across Slate.com and the Amicus podcast, we're going to be tackling questions like, where did originalism come from? Why has it taken over? Are progressive originalists really a thing? And am I allowed to have an opinion on originalism? Spoiler, the answer to that last question, you are. To celebrate the launch of this big project, we are running a special two-week-long free trial of Slate Plus on Apple Podcasts. As a member, you'll get exclusive episodes from How Originalism Ate the Law, plus ad-free listening to all of your favorite Slate podcasts. Join now by clicking Try Free at the top of the Amicus show page or visit slate.com/amicusplus to get access wherever you listen.
During the presidential campaign, Chris, the Trump Organization and Donald Trump were trying to build Trump Tower in Moscow. That's the deal that Michael Cohen and Felix Sater were negotiating.
He was involved in secretly trying to develop a Trump Tower Moscow.
There are longstanding financial ties, well documented, between the Trump Organization and the Kremlin.
Personally reaching out to the Kremlin for assistance with that project.
This was a collaborative criminal enterprise.
Financial dealings of these guys, Trump, Cohen, Kushner, they're all on Mueller's table.
Hello and welcome to TrumpCast. I'm Virginia Heffernan. So I'm hoping you all have done your reading this week. And by that, I don't mean think pieces and takes. I hate takes about Bill Clinton's disastrous non-apology. The best reflection on Clinton is just don't buy his thriller co-written with James Patterson. Just don't buy it. No, I mean your actual assignment. It's in the Kinko's packet at the college bookstore. I set aside 1 million copies for TrumpCast listeners, and it's called The United States of America versus Paul J. Manafort, Jr. The new filing came out of Mueller's office, but if you can trust the one signature on the document, this filing reflects the prose stylings of Andrew Weissman. Now, I call this new work a short story. It's called My Friend P. For a plot turn, I will not give away, but it is definitely, as far as I can tell, Andrew Weissman on the mic. He's the magician on Mueller's team, as you probably know, known for his spatula twist of the wrist, which can flip anyone. And once he flips you, he becomes your father. I mean, as Mimi Rocha said on this show, when you're a mobster who idolizes your mob boss, you actually make a great witness when you flip, because you turn the prosecutors and the U.S. government into your father figures. We're all hoping this will happen with Michael Cohen. Give up Trump and commit to Mueller. Anyway, Andrew Weissman, he has alleged in this document that Manafort, though arrested, out on bail, wanted by everyone, wearing an anklet, is still criming it up on WhatsApp, trying to meddle with witnesses in his case. All these people trying to obstruct good old justice. But fortunately, justice will not be obstructed and it will roll down like a mighty stream. Just read the filing by Andrew Weissman. It'll give you confidence that these people will be stopped. My guest today is Anthony Cormier, a crusader for justice in the pages of BuzzFeed, where he's an investigative reporter and editor. Anthony also has a Pulitzer Prize he won at the Tampa Bay Times in 2016. I'll be back with Anthony in just a minute. Joining me on the line is Anthony Cormier. Anthony Cormier is an investigative reporter at BuzzFeed. He has a blockbuster story today called Ivanka Trump was in contact with a Russian who offered a Trump-Putin meeting. In some ways, that describes exactly what the story is about, but there's much more to it. And let's just say it involves the touchy relationship between Ivanka Trump and Michael Cohen, as well as an Olympic weightlifter. Welcome to the show, Anthony.
Thanks for having me.
Sadly, you're not with me in the studio this time, but it is good to hear your voice, especially on the day of a big story in BuzzFeed. You told me a little bit that what was in the works, but I had no idea it would be this kind of bombshell. It even merited a baby cannon. And was it baby or medium cannon from Ben Wittes, the editor of Lawfare, who marks each moment that there's a huge story with a video of him firing off a cannon.
I know. He sort of issued me a challenge. He wants me to get the big cannon. So we're dutifully trying to do that.
You know what? Lately I've been thinking I want Trump, like the guy in A Few Good Men, sometime to say, yes, I goddamn ordered the code red. So we're close to ordering the code red, but right now we're talking about Ivanka, who's such a confusing figure because sometimes you don't want to think she's okay, like an angel, like they think she is, but you don't go so far as to think she's actually evil. Sometimes I think she's trivial, like a Kardashian person. But just to know that she's closely implicated in the Trump-Putin, brokering a Trump-Putin meeting, puts her much closer to the center of things, I think, than we imagine.
Right. I mean, I think we're in safe ground to say that she sort of hasn't been muddied at all by the Trump-Russia sort of investigations and has been able to rise above the fray, as a number of sources have told me. She's managed to keep herself relatively removed from all of this. But our reporting suggests that she was indeed ordering Michael Cohen to at least communicate with a man who promised to introduce Trump to Putin. And that's fundamental. We don't fully understand how she came to know this Olympic athlete. We don't know whether he could, in fact, actually deliver on his promise. But we do know that this is about the fifth time that someone has invited the Trump Organization to establish a meeting between Trump and Putin.
So I want to get to this Olympic athlete. I think it's better that we just lead with the fact that he's a weightlifter. I think he's pretty safely in the carny category. He's a little bit like Rob Goldstone, just a kind of odd demimonde figure. We don't even know what his relation to politics are or anything, but that nonetheless makes a big promise to Ivanka that she somehow takes seriously, that he can broker a meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. Who is this guy? I'm looking at pictures of him. I mean, he is another carny. I feel like the next time they have a carny, he's going to be actually worked at a carnival. Yes.
Yeah. Right. No. I mean, I think we're barreling toward that being a real possibility at this point. So Mr. Klokov is a world champion and Olympic medalist, rather large, as we call them, chiseled giant, who apparently has, as far as we can tell, there's not a whiff of Kremlin on him. We don't see him being connected to the sort of oligarch class. He was nowhere near the sort of debilitating doping scandal that many believe the Kremlin ordered. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as we can see, he's just a muscle-bound dude who could probably lift three of me over his head. But for some reason, he was out there essentially pimping his connections to the Kremlin. And the Trump org took him seriously enough that Michael got on the phone with him. Michael Cohen said, sure, let's see what you got. And according to these documents that we've seen and the sources that we have, Michael blew him off, basically. Michael tells him, you're full of hot air, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. And the guy fires back and CCs Ivanka on the final email, by the way, and says, basically, for lack of a better word, who the hell are you? Do you actually speak for your boss? Do you mm-hmm. have the authority to brush me off? And that triggers what we're told by sources a line of questioning by Ivanka in a personal meeting to Michael Cohen that sort of goes like, why'd you blow him off? Why'd you stop these communications? Mm. And we're told that Michael was a little bit bewildered by this. He was like, what? You know, this is not part of the plan. I don't understand. I'm confused here as to why you're asking me to go further.
And do you think that she was, like everyone, seemingly very staked in being the one to deliver the big game of the Trump Tower Moscow to her father?
I mean, I think that's a reasonable conclusion to reach, right? I mean, so we know from past reporting that Michael Cohen was very antsy about delivering this deal. So he told the his associate Felix Sater, "You're not going to embarrass me in front of Mr. T." Mm-hmm. And so it's our understanding that this is an ongoing effort, right? Trump Russia is the sort of white whale for the organization. We know that Ivanka and Don Jr. were there in 2006 with Sater. We know from Russian Roulette, the incredible book by Eskov and Korn,
yeah,
that in 2014, Ivanka returned to Russia to scout sites. So it's not difficult to sort of draw a line to her continuing to push this deal that would make her family millions. And if a meeting between Trump and Putin can get the ball rolling, it's not difficult to envision her sort of at least pursuing that.
And also, it was a project like Vancouver and Panama, the towers there, and I think some other places too, that it was a project with her name on it, not just her father's name on it, because this proposed tower in Moscow had in it the spa by Ivanka Trump, TM or R, whatever, right?
Right.
And
right.
She's, yeah.
And she would have been able to make all of those decisions. The letter of intent that the organization signed with the developer in Russia would have allowed her to sort of manage that to her own specifications. And to just go back to your other point, I mean, I think you see when the kids become, I called the kids, some inside call them the scions, when the kids become executive vice presidents of development and acquisition, I think that's 2003, don't quote me. Actually, I'm on a podcast, what the hell?
Yeah.
Quote me. You know, they begin to take over various aspects of the business, and she rises to the fore. She becomes the sort of very sophisticated, urbane face, for lack of a better term, of the Trump Organization. And we know behind the scenes that the Trump Organization tried to market her that way. When they were building Trump Soho, they didn't want Donald on the billboards. Who the hell's going to buy a condo in Soho with Donald Trump on the billboard?
Right.
No, you have to put up the sophisticated, sleek icon on the billboards, and that billing went to Ivanka. And so she's sort of carried that through. You see it in not only their business dealings, but certainly on the campaign trail. She's sort of untouchable. She's the one that is beloved and cleans up whatever dirtiness there is in the Trump Organization's sort of sordid history.
Ivanka Trump not only has her swan neck and her lovely bearing and a reputation for classy rayon separates, but she also usually has better contacts than Dmitry Klokov. For example, she's quite close to Wendy Deng, who used to date Vladimir Putin. Why does she have to find a weightlifter? He has 340,000 followers on Instagram. I mean, what else does he have to recommend him as such an important figure to Ivanka Trump, who doesn't always consort with the Rob Goldstones in the Trump orbit? She tries to keep
it
cleaner.
She's been sort of removed from that.
So how did they meet? Why those two?
I mean, that's like the biggest question is, was this a blind inquiry? We don't know. We've asked Ivanka's sort of representatives. I'm happy to, again, if you listen to this, folks, Abby Lowell, if you're hearing me, I would love for you to go on the record with me.
You're talking about Ivanka's lawyer.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, that's their guy. We talked to him and, you know, they know we're here. That's a critical question. Is this a blind reach out? Does Mr. Klokov personally know Ivanka? Does Mr. Klokov's wife know Ivanka? What's the genesis of this? I think that would go a long way toward explaining the relationship, explaining why she may have taken it so seriously. But again and again, as we deal with some of these people, if the truth is there and it's benign, they refuse to tell it to us. And we're acting in good faith. I mean,
right.
I can tell you that my colleagues, my counterparts at the Post and the New York Times and elsewhere, we are good faith operators. If you tell me a truth, I'm going to include it in the story. And in this case, we gave them ample opportunity to do so. They don't have any actual response to this. And
well, didn't
so we got to go with what we got.
Didn't her lawyers, was it Abby Lowell's spokesman?
Abby Lowell's spokesman.
Did write something.
Wrote me a response essentially saying that she had minimal involvement in any of the planning for Trump Moscow. In fact, that her only involvement was to tell Mr. Cohen that should the deal proceed, which in parentheses they say it did not, that Mr. Cohen was to adhere to the highest possible architectural standards as set forth by previous Trump Organization deals. And inside baseball, we ask these questions. We've asked their side very specific questions, and they refuse to give us answers. And
I mean, this is the way. If anyone wants to see the like how to call out a lie without even using the word lie, Anthony and his colleagues do a beautiful job here. You do a beautiful job here. So you quote the spokesperson for the attorney saying that nothing happened, she was barely involved, and so on. And then there's a one sentence paragraph that just says, but emails and interviews suggest that her involvement ran deeper. So
I mean,
we did report this out. Right. We have receipts.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we now, you know, you talked to four different people, you've seen emails, receipts, as you say, that Ivanka Trump did tell Cohen to speak with this weightlifter because he might be able to introduce Trump and Putin. So we have a little bit of a more sense of what Ivanka's involvement in would-be conspiracy or collusion could be. That's one thing here. But the other thing we get is a real inside look at the relationship between Ivanka and Cohen.
Yes.
And say a little more about that, because
well, I think it's very, very, very sort of nuanced and a very complicated relationship. I mean, I think what I know about Michael Cohen, he will not talk to me. His lawyer won't talk to me for this story. What I know is that he was eager to always be impressing the boss. And he, in the past, has felt like the kids, the scions, have taken a good share of his credit. And I do think that in talking to a number of individuals inside that organization, they do feel like Ivanka, while she has this very, very sort of very classy sort of exterior, can be quite, what's the right word here? She can be quite persuasive. She can be quite cutting when she needs to be, that she often gets her way, particularly because she does have a direct line to her father. And because she, in some ways, is able to make people feel bad with a smile on her face, right? She's got a way about her of making people feel like perhaps lower than she is.
And they call her, I know from Fire and Fury, she gets called the Black Widow by the people around Trump who dislike her, right? Isn't that what Michael?
Yeah, there's at least one individual that refers to her that way. We don't know how many others.
And she also, I mean, she did, there's a bunch of sketchy things that, you know, for another conversation, she brought in Mike Flynn. She's advocated for some of the creepier players and indictees in the Trump circle.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What do you think is going to become of her? Or what do you tell me some top line conclusions.
I mean, I think that the relationship between not just Ivanka but each of the children is going to sort of take center stage for the crew working for Mueller at some point. It's our understanding that team is working in stages. I mean, we talked about this in the past. It's best not to presume what Robert Mueller's team is doing because he will look pretty stupid, but it's our understanding that they are sort of working in stages, and eventually they will get to the stage where they investigate the children's role in not just Trump Moscow, but in the Trump Tower meeting, potential contacts with foreign nationals during the campaign. I mean, they are eventually going to be on deck. We don't know where that can go. I've said this in the past. They could be entirely innocent. That is a distinct possibility, right? We have to acknowledge it. But they are going to get the thorough Mueller scrub down, so to speak, at some point.
Not the Ivanka Trump spa scrub that is with where they use Asai, but the Robert Mueller scrub down where they use boulders that he got in Vietnam.
And subpoenas.
Subpoenas. Thank you so much for being here, Anthony. We're going to have I'm going to subpoena you to come back soon.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
And that's it for today's show. Okay, I'm going to do something I haven't done in a long time, if at all, which is urge you, the way other more craven podcasters do, to review our show. Just go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star or whatever stars you want. Just give us a 5-star review, 5-star honest review. And then just, you know, make up some prose, that all the things that come straight from your heart, like that it's invaluable, that it should be number one, that you have a preference among the three hosts, and that preference starts with the letter V. Anyway, it's a good way to support the show and help others find it as well. Our show is produced by the great Jason DeLeon, and I'm Virginia Heffernan. Thanks for listening to Trumpcast.